Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord, on this July 25th. Man, it's moving very fast. Ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Great to be with God's people. Julia, I hope, is enjoying her vacation. And so I hope I get to enjoy today with you. I'm kind of out of practice. Last time I preached was at Malat, and that was like last March. So it's been a while for me. Yeah. I think maybe it's something like a bicycle, you know. Once you learn how to ride a bicycle, usually it comes back to you right away. Of course, I don't think that works when you get older, you know. But anyway, just before we start, I just want to have a prayer for Christy. Her son, Scott Tucker, is in grave condition at the hospital. It looks like he is into multiple organ shutdown at this time from an unknown cause, and his prognosis is not good. She was here this morning and lighting the candles and things, but she's sitting over here. Oh, right there. So, but let's just have a short prayer for Scott and for Christy right now, okay? On this beautiful morning, oh God, as we gather as your people here to worship and have fellowship with each other, to listen to your word, and to encourage each other in the faith, we especially want to encourage Christy and her family during this really hard time. We ask that it would be possible for her to visit her son in the hospital. We pray that you will grant the whole family peace, and especially, Lord, even though it really looks grim, we always pray for your healing power and touch in Scott's life and in the life of all of his loved ones. Now, as we come to you, O God, today, open up our hearts to your word and to each other so that we may shine as your twinkling stars of love and light in a darkened world. We ask this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for the music. Yes. So, I have to do two things at the same time. Hold a microphone and move this thing. So, let us join in the call to worship. I will be reading the light type, and you guys read the bold type, either from the screen or as printed in your bulletin. All of creation points to God's glory. Listen to the language of creation telling us who God is. God's truth guides us in ways that are right. God's word is more precious than gold and sweeter than the finest honey. It illumines our secret sins and faults. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to God, who is our rock and our redeemer. I already had an opening prayer. So, Yvonne, would you please read our psalm today, Psalm 19.
I'm going to read from, can you guys hear me? Okay. I'm going to read from the New American Standard Bible, which was is for Glenn and B. Hoppenrath. They got this from my sister-in-law years ago. And this is Psalm 19 for the choir director, a psalm of David. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. The line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than the gold. Yes, that much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule over me, and then I shall be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The Lord, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So the first time Jan and I went to Maui together was an incredible experience. Our first night was just something I've never had before, with seeing the stars in the sky. We were staying in a house high up on a cliff overlooking the north coast of Maui. It was a place in the middle of nowhere, basically. It was halfway to the down the road to Hana. I don't know if you've been to Maui, but it's a far stretch. It takes a good chunk of hours to get from the airport down to Hana all the way on the east coast of Maui. But it was trade wind weather, and so we had this band of clouds coming in periodically from the northeast, and when it rains, it rains. But after it rains, the skies suddenly clear up between the bands of clouds, and looking in the skies, all I could describe the stars beyond brilliant was that they were wild. It was the first time I'd ever been that far south looking up at the sky, and there were so many stars out, and they were so bright that I couldn't even tell where the constellations were. I was looking at a brand new sky. The starlight was reflecting off the surface of the ocean down below, if you can imagine that. Just this ruffled appearance glowing dimly down below the cliff. And what usually precedes nightfall in Maui are glorious sunsets. When you go to Hawaii and you watch people go out to the beaches in the evenings before sunset, just with the hope they're going to see something spectacular, and more times than not, they do. Maui is truly a beautiful and an amazing place, especially when the stars are shining. So, you know, our ancestors have all experienced awesome and spectacular moments of celestial splendor, just as we have. And they remind us of how small and insignificant we are, and how beautiful and amazing is the whole of all creation. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. So David, the songwriter, speaks for us all when he says in number 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them, yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." And the song continues with praise to God for the sun, which I found in the Message translation says it more beautifully than what this translation said. It said, "The morning sun's a new husband leaping from his honeymoon bed. The day-breaking sun, an athlete racing to the tape." Now, when we hear the words to this ancient song, our hearts join together in David's in saying, "Amen, amen." And any other words fail us whenever we witness the majestic splendor of the sky and the sea and the land and all the creatures of the earth, both large and small. For thousands of years, persons of every faith have chimed in with their deepest expressions of feelings of gratitude and wonder. And throughout history, people from every corner of the world, every race, language, faith, and culture have tried to capture this sense of awe and gratitude and kinship with nature. Now, you know, for example, we are deeply moved by the words given by Chief Self when he met with Governor Isaac Stevens when the Suquamish tribe accepted the treaty that was forced on them when they gathered. The Suquamish, of course, are from the Seattle area. Now, we have been so moved by the words of Chief Self over the years that we have a hard time distinguishing what he really said and what we have put down in prose to kind of approximate what he said, because there was no official transcript of any words that he gave of that day. But believe it or not, in our United Methodist Book of Worship, we have a prayer for Native American Awareness Sunday, and it goes like this. Every part of the earth is sacred. Every shining pine needle, every sandy shore, every mist in the dark woods, every clearing and humming insect is holy. The rocky crest, the meadow, the beasts, and all the people all belong to the same family. Teach your children that the earth is our mother. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the children of the earth. We are part of the earth, and the earth is part of us. The rivers are our brothers. They quench our thirst. The perfumed flowers are our sisters. The air is precious, for all of us share the same breath. The wind that gave our grandparents breath also receives our last sigh. The wind gave our children the spirit of life. This we know. The earth does not belong to us. We belong to the earth. This we know. All things are connected. Like the blood which unites one family, all things are connected. Our God is the same God whose compassion is equal for all. For we did not weave the web of life. We are merely a strand in it. Whatever we do to the web, we do to ourselves. Let us give thanks for the web and the circle that connects us. Thanks be to God, the God of all. So Psalm 19 is just one of the many psalms that express gratitude to God for the glory of God manifest in creation. But the words of Psalm 19 don't only rest on the testimony of the creation to invoke the presence of Almighty God and our place in the web of creation, because David knows something that all the cultures and religions of the time acknowledged. And it is this: even though what we see in nature provokes a religious response within most people, and they believe that there is some kind of creative force behind all that we see and all that we experience in the world, God still remains a mysterious stranger to us. If that is the extent of our faith, if we go by just what we see and what we experience out here in God's great, big, beautiful world, there's still something missing. And God still can elude us. So the song abruptly turns from praise to the Creator to praise Him as the Lord God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who spoke to Moses, who revealed Himself to and made covenant with the ancient Hebrew people in the Torah, the books of Moses. Here's what David said: "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey from the honeycomb." Now, since this is a song, a hymn of faith, notice that David's heart seems to be even more moved by God's own words to His people than what is stirred up within him when he looks at the starry heavens. The Creator now speaks to us through the laws of Moses. Now, what sets the Jews apart from all the people in the world at that time was that they worshiped God like other cultures worshiped God. But we can call this God, God plus, the one whose name Yahweh means I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. This one is greater than all other gods revealed generally in creation and especially in God's act of self-disclosure and his revelation through the laws of Moses. Is especially, I like all the wonderful attributes that David gives, but God's words are especially refreshing, enlightening, joyful, inspirational, rock solid, eternal, and best of all, even pleasurable. When is the last time anybody has ever told you that following God's commands is a pleasurable thing? Most of the time we equate that with foregoing pleasure. You know, we don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't go with those who do. Yeah. So, pleasurable. And since God's laws mean everything to him, David therefore asked God to help him live fully according to them. So he says, who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless and innocent of great transgression. And then he concludes with these words that Pastor Julia uses just about every time when she begins speaking. It says, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, Pastor Julia has often reminded us that this part of the country is known as the Nun Zone. N-O-N-E, not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E, where the majority of people are non-churchgoers and possess no particular brand of faith. And as a pastor, I've heard all the reasons why people are nuns. They're often disenchanted with hypocritical Christians in particular. And in general, they are just against any kind of organized religion. So, where do they go and what do they do on weekends? Well, like most everybody else, they gather with family and friends for what the McDonald's commercial says, food, folks, and fun. Right? That sounds like us Methodists, too, before all this hit, you know. What are we known for? We're known for potlucks. Yes. In church, food, folks, and fun. And they also escape to the great outdoors to recreate and rejuvenate themselves with their besties, or they even go solo. So they find their connections with a higher power through community and through nature. And this is good stuff. This is great stuff. And we all certainly enjoy our times of recreation, but persons of faith know that even despite these in our lives, there is something very important and even more rejuvenating that is missing from the weekend routine if it doesn't include something like this. This. We practicing Christians are a minority who stick out from most folks because we're here in church today. We're not watching the football game, or we're not out there in our RV or in the campground or at Aunt Alice's or anything like that. We are here today at this time, and we're here because we have found our connection with the God who not only made the world and everything in it, but has also revealed himself to us through the words of life. To our souls. Now, first, to our spiritual ancestors, the Jews, through the law and the prophets and the poets. And then finally, expressed to the whole world in the person of Jesus Christ. We are Christians, followers of Christ. We are moved deeply by the beauty of all creation and our personal relationship with God, plus provides the context for our place in the universe. It gives our life meaning. We are given a mission. We each have a life purpose as created by God. And we are all God's children, and we are invited to have a lifelong relationship with God, who first loved us and has forgiven us in our ignorance and our lost state of sin. And God invites us to be part of his great family, which is the church, with all the saints, those who are still walking around on the earth. You guys are saints. And for all those who are walking in glory, we have our place in them. Our God Plus has given us the way to live in love and peace with God and with each other through the risen Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, who connects us and unites us as one and gives us the power to live out our faith. So in this nun zone, friends, this is so important. We need to be the twinkling stars of God's love for people who are looking for something they don't even know. They don't even know they need something like this. But we are called to be witnesses to the love of God in Christ. And how do we do that? Well, it's through the way we love others, and maybe through our faith and our love, others might find the one who first found us when we first met Christ, our Lord. So, it's not complicated. How do we shine with the light of Christ's love? You know the three simple rules, right? John Wesley gave them to us. He just kind of put it all together for us. A group of Methodists came up to him and looking to, how do we live in this world? How do we live out our faith? How do we share our testimony with others? And how do we grow in love and faith in God? And he gave the three simple rules. First, you know these, right? Do no harm. First, do no harm. Second, do good. Do as much good as you can for as many people as you can. And third, stay in love with God. Gather for prayer and praise and hearing God's word. Meditate on God's word. Practice stewardship. Fast. Well, I'm not so good at that last one. But that's it. That's how we are shining lights of God's love in this world. And they might even include times when we actually say something about why we are Christians. So may God give us all grace and power to live with the love of Christ. And let's conclude with the beautiful words from this psalm. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So in our prayer time today, we will. When you stepped out, we had a prayer for Scott and for you and your family. So we will continue in prayer for Scott. Did anybody else have a request for prayer today? If you do, you're going to have to speak loudly because I can't pass this mic around. So, yes.
I don't have a prayer, but I have a comment. You were talking about the only place in the world with no lights. I see what Arizona, my mom and dad, there are no lights. And so my brother Bobby and I, when he got out of the airport, he came over, and he and I laid on the ground, watching hail.
Yeah, hail bop.
Everything that was, I think back in 1998 or such.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could see everything.
Everything.
Every little spot.
Not like here. No, you can't see even see the Milky Way from Wenatchee right now. No. Yeah, yeah. Any other requests? Yes.
My husband could use some prayers. His walking has gotten really bad in his right hand side.
Okay. Okay, and his name? John. Okay. So prayers for John. And he's having problems walking, keeping his balance. Okay. Hey, any others? Hey, let us be in prayer, shall we? Lord God, we praise you for this chance to gather together today, for the vital mission you've given us to intercede on behalf of people around the world and for this globe. We think in particular, God, of Scott and Christy and their family. Continue to uphold them and grant them strength and comfort them. We pray for John, who's experiencing trouble moving about and is falling at times, so prayers that you would strengthen the weak knees and strengthen his back, give him his balance back. We are reminded, God, right now of all the things that are out of whack on this planet because of us. We see the extreme heat waves we've experienced here not long ago. We see the floods going out in all places of the world right now, in China and India and in Europe, and of the great loss of life and destruction that they have caused. We have concerns, O God, that our grandchildren and their children might live in a world that is increasingly hostile to even any person living on this earth. And so we pray that you would help us to do the wise things, to make good choices about how we would like to live in this world, to mitigate the harms that we have caused. That you would draw all people, O God, together to do this. May our efforts not be too little, too late. We think, O God, also of the community of people for the pandemic that rages around the world. And we pray, O God, for those who have who are looking to get vaccinated, and for those, O God, who still refuse to get vaccinated, that the spread of this scourge would be abated, and that we might all live in the freedom of movement that we have been accustomed to. Comfort those, O God, who have lost so many loved ones in this dark time. We thank you, God, for you who have kept us going through valiant efforts of people like Pastor Julia, who's faithfully have been online and have been recording worship for us, and who has met over the internet, and so many other pastors, oh God, across this country and across this world, who have kept us together when we were forced apart. And last of all, God, we give you thanks for your gifts for living, for health, for sunshine, for laughter, for children and grandchildren, for the good gifts we see in abundance all around us as we look to the starry heavens and at the beauty of the mountains and the sunset. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Announcements. So we do have a fellowship time following this time at 11 o'clock, and Jeanette is going to be moderating that. And you should have gotten the notice in your email for that if you would like to join. And looking at the things for the week, Soul Sisters is canceled on Tuesday. We're going to be tailgating with the Psalms on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Psalm 84. And next week, we're going to have in-person worship and communion. So that means that since we are not able to do our communion in our custom way, we do have individual servings of the juice and the wafer that we'll be distributing at the door on the way out. So just that, but we are going to have communion. So, all right. Any other words for the good of the order this morning? Okay. Well, let us stand for our benediction. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
So it's